This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Final hour of the program. Chris Thomas with you till 10 o'clock. Had a great conversation all show long talking with you about the future of Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. We'll take more of your calls next segment, 404-726-0929. But right now, may not feel like it outside, but spring training is upon us. And the boys are down in Florida doing their thing, popping the mitts, swinging the bats. So let's check in with our good buddy Danny Vietti, CBS, MLB, and the Believe Network as well. Danny, as we get ready to start spring training, where would you rank our Atlanta Braves here in the pecking order in the National League right now?
You know, I came with optimism today. I came with, you know, there's something in the air today about the Atlanta Braves, because, you know, I'm looking at depth charts, and obviously in spring training, everybody's healthy, everybody's in the best shape of their life, and everything looks good on paper, at least for most teams, with the exception of a few. But you look at Atlanta's lineup, and I was a little bit bullish on them as the offseason went on, and I was like, okay, this lineup, as long as they can stay healthy, they'll still be able to keep pace with the Mets and the Dodgers and the other National League dominant teams. It's just going to come down to starting rotation. And I still think that holds true. But then they went and added Jerks and Profar. And I'm not saying that Jerks and Profar is going to win the 2025 National League MVP. But the addition of him and having his ability to play 8 positions defensively, 7 positions defensively, having him give a little bit more protection to the top of that lineup, he sees as many pitches as anybody in baseball. So even if he's not an all-star OPS batting average guy, he's always going to work a professional at bat. And so I look at this Atlanta Braves team right now, and I look at that lineup, and I look at what their actual batting averages, actual OPSs were last year, and you compare it to their expected batting average, expected OPS. And I'm feeling very confident about this Atlanta offense in particular. It's just going to come down to whether their starting pitching can keep them in ballgames.
I agree with everything you just said, but I need to add one caveat, and that is the potentially under-the-radar subtractions of Joe Jimenez due to injury and A.J. Minter going to the Mets and them not replacing them in the bullpen. They're counting on guys like Pierce Johnson and Aaron Bummer, Daisbell Hernandez, Dylan Lee, guys that have been used sparingly in high leverage situations, more in times of when their other guys needed blows to bridge the gap to one of the best closers in the game in Rossell Iglesias. Do you share that concern about the back end of their bullpen?
I absolutely do. My counter argument to that would be that we've seen in recent years, front offices almost treat their bullpens as if they're trying to find lightning in a bottle, guys, for the first couple of months, and they're trying to figure out, okay, who's hot. And then, like, for example, with the Dodgers last year, Their bullpen struggled for half the season. They didn't have Blake Treinen. He was injured for the first half of the year. They really didn't have a closer. At least their closer, Evan Phillips, was not performing the way that they had hoped. And all of a sudden, trade deadline came, and Treinen got healthy, and they acquired Michael Kopech at the deadline. And it seems like that's what front offices are doing in treating bullpens now. It's, okay, first couple months of the season, 3 months of the season, let's figure out who's hot. Okay, they're going to be part of our bullpen. Now let's look to the trade market, and let's figure out who we can acquire, and let's actually attach labels to certain players in our bullpen for, let's say, a bridge guy. Let's say an eighth inning guy. Okay, we got a closer here. So, yes, I share that concern. I just personally believe in Alex Anthopoulos and these top GMs to be able to put together a bullpen as the season wears on. It doesn't concern me to the utmost degree if their bullpen's not intact day one.
All right, some other MLB headlines now as we whip around the league with our good buddy Danny Vietti. Check him out on his socials. The Red Sox had a really good offseason, in my opinion, with the additions to their starting staff, and now they just bring in Bregman. But seems like there may be a little bit of controversy with Rafael Devers coming out and saying that third base is, quote, his position, and we know Bregman's a gold glover there, and is the plan to play him at second. What do you make of this?
I think I want to hear that out of a player. You know, you want to hear kind of a little bit of arrogance, in a good way, a humble arrogance, if you will, although a bit of a paradox. But I think, look, Devers has been there. He's got the extension. He's the face of the franchise. You want to hear that from a face of the franchise saying, look, this is my position. I'm not going to have anybody come in here and just kind of take it from me. So I think they're both pros. Both guys have been in the league for a decade now, or at least close to. Both have won World Series championships. Both know what it takes to win World Series titles. I'm not concerned about it. I think Alex Cora, he's shown the ability as a manager to keep that culture intact. Everything I'm hearing on the Red Sox side of things is that they are committed to winning. They're committed to spending money, which has not always been true, at least over the span of the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or so. There's been concerns and there's been questions of whether the front office is actually willing to spend with the Yankees and with the Dodgers and with the big spenders. And at least evidently this offseason, and they tried the last, they're trying to hang in there with the big guys. So it doesn't worry me. The American League East worries me more than the Devers-Bregman situation worries me.
When it comes to the New York Mets and the NL East situation, we found out that one of their offseason additions, Frankie Montas, is going to miss an extended period of time with an injury to an already short rotation. I know they re-signed Alonso and they brought in Juan Soto for whatever it was, $1 billion. But Danny, are they actually better than they were a year ago? I mean, just overall depth, especially in that rotation, is really short.
The rotation was performed better than expectation last year. So I think that's really the only concern when it comes to the Mets, because they built their rotation this year similar to how they built it last year. Last year, nobody expected the Mets to really be a playoff team, let alone an NLCS team. And all of a sudden, they got hot at the right time, and they're starting pitching outperformed expectation. It concerns me a little bit in that you can't always hit lightning in a bottle every single year when it comes to starting rotation. You need innings throwers. Like, the perfect example I always come up with is Jordan Lyles. A guy had been in the league for a decade plus, and his career ERA is 5+, and he's actually got, if you depending on what qualifier you put on it, he's got one of the worst earned run averages of any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And people question, like, why does Jordan Lyles keep getting contracts? Well, you need guarantees. You need a guy that's going to take the bump every single fifth day when you're playing a 162-game season. You want to know what you're going to have. And when you build a rotation like the Mets had the past couple of years, you're kind of flipping a coin. You're hoping that these guys take the hill every fifth day. You got Kode Senga, who's coming off the injury, and they had hope to get him back for the playoffs. Obviously, the timeline didn't match up. So it worries me a little bit in that it seems like their rotation is built with a lot of coin flips. And the way that coin flips work, yeah, it's typically a 50% shot, but there is always that chance of tails every single time. So that's my biggest concern with the Mets, is just whether their starting rotation is going to be able to hold on for 162 games.
The team that knocked out the Braves last year, are the Padres going to be able to replicate what they did last year?
The culture right now is not great in San Diego, and that's my concern. The talent's still there, and you're getting 1 year older with playoff experience, Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill is a 30-30 contender, maybe even 40-40 contender. That's the talent that this kid possesses. I think he was 21 years old last season as a rookie and had one of the highest clutch rates in baseball. So they're getting another year of Jackson Merrill. Manny Machado, still productive, even though he's lost a bit of a step in the field. Xander Bogaerts was injured last year. He looks to be healthy this season. Fernando Tatis started the season injured last season, looks to be 100% this season. I still think they're very, very talented, but the concern with ownership, a little background on that for those that don't know, is that the late owner, Peter Seidler, his now widow wife and the family, the Seidler family, there was a battle basically over custody of the team. It's since been settled at this juncture, but I think it got settled so late into the off season that it seemed like there were a lot of question marks about how much ownership was going to be willing to spend on free agents. And it seemed like they were so late into the game, they just signed like Yuli Gurriel this week, and they're kind of getting some more B-level players at this point. But it seems like they were so late in the direction that they wanted to go that just the culture from the top to bottom concerns me about San Diego. I think the talent is right there with the best teams in the National League. It's just I just wonder if the culture and the late start to the offseason is going to derail things.
Talking with our good buddy Danny Vietti. Check him out at CBS and Believe Network for all the baseball content. Check him out on socials as well. All right, Danny, a couple of big picture questions before I let you go. Had an interesting discussion with some of my colleagues here about sort of the state of the game and the have and the have-not situation. And one of the hosts that I was working with made the argument that, hey, I mean, the Yankees have only won one World Series since 2009, and the Red Sox finished last every other year, and the Cubs finally won, and the Guardians got to a World Series. So parity does exist in the sport. And I say that's all good and well, but you have a good 8 to 10 teams every year that you know that just have absolutely no shot. The Marlins and the Reds and the Pirates and teams that, you know, maybe have a little bit of a bump once every 10 years like the Pirates did with Andrew McCutchen back in the day, or the Reds when they were rolling, you know, 10, 12 years ago. But I'm worried that it's going to lead to a big problem for Major League Baseball down the road for the disparity between the have and the have-nots in that regard being the way that it is right now.
Yeah, hear me out on this. I hope it does. Because that is the only way that we're actually going to get changed. That is the only way that a salary floor or salary cap will ever even be brought up at the next CBA negotiations. If we do indeed have a talent difference amongst the haves and the have-nots. Because if we constantly see, like the examples that you just gave, Cleveland Guardians, and even before the A's moved away, back when they were in Oakland, they have historically been one of the lower payrolls in baseball. But if you look at win percentages, Oakland did not have a hard time competing every 4 or 5 years. They were putting a competitive team despite having a low payroll. Obviously the most famous example being the Moneyball team. But I hope we do start to see the haves start to have a little bit more and the have nots start to have a little bit less, because the only way that we're going to get change is if the problem enhances. And I know that it's going to upset people. The product of baseball, unfortunately, will have to suffer if we want to see a salary floor or a salary cap. And it could get ugly before it gets pretty.
We saw the NHL do a wild experiment this weekend. We saw the NBA do another experiment this weekend. Major League Baseball's All-Star Game, Danny, is often regarded as the best in sports because it's the closest and truest to the game. But how do you feel about the state of the weekend in general, where the All-Star Game is, participation in things like the Home Run Derby? How do you feel like the state of all that is with a lot of the other sports being in flux?
Yeah, I think if we're if the bar is the NBA All-Star Game, I mean, it's the best product in sports, because the NBA All-Star Game is at least something to be desired, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Pro Bowl for the NFL, I mean, it's just non-existent completely. The NHL does a really nice job with their skills competitions. It's very entertaining. I think what baseball has in its favor when it comes to All-Star Game is you still have to deliver a pitch. You know, like, you can't, unless this thing goes to a slow pitch softball game, you still have to do all your mechanics correctly in order to throw a pitch over the plate and get a strike. In order to make contact with the ball, you at least have to go 80-90%. With the NBA, you can coast at 50% and score points when there's no defense. You can play at a 50% speed, maybe even less than that, and be comfortable and at least look like you're playing a basketball game. Football is a little bit different. It's more so because of injuries. Baseball, you have to play 75-80% to even play a competitive baseball game, or at least look as if it's a competitive baseball game. So I think that's what baseball has in its favor, is that the bar minimum is higher than that of, say, the NBA, NFL. Not so much hockey, but definitely those other two sports.
All right, Danny, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you again as regular season gets underway.
All right, my man. Happy baseball season to you.
All right. That is our good buddy Danny Vietti there of the Believe Network and CBS Sports MLB. Make sure you check him out online as well. All right. When we get back, the long-awaited five Hawks true-false questions for the second half of the season with my man Dom C on the other side. Been patiently waiting because, man, you guys just kept calling, and I loved it. 404-726-0929. If you still haven't gotten in on Kirk Cousins and you want to give your thoughts, can the Falcons keep him as the backup, or is what he did just too much? Because that's where I'm at. I don't want him back. Your calls and Dom C with Hawks questions next. Back with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you for about another half hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hit me up on Twitter if you haven't been able to get through on the busy phone lines. I am at C Thomas Radio. We can chat about all things Atlanta sports. You know, there's a couple of do's and don'ts when it comes to radio. I just find myself not listening. And I'm getting into bad habits and I need to stop. I did it again. I had my dinner that I haven't eaten, just been feeling the energy of the show, just wasn't really hungry.
Yeah.
I finally said, all right, it's almost 10 o'clock. I got to eat. And so I had myself a taco, and I knew in my little cubby I had a leftover buffalo sauce from Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
I was like, that sounds like a good combo. I broke a cardinal rule. Don't eat hot sauce when you're on the air, because then you come back from commercial break and you're like, so I did a no-no, but it was so tempting.
I was going to say, was it good? Was it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
There we go. That's all that matters.
I know better. I'm telling on myself right now. I'm telling on, there's certain things if you talk into a microphone for a living, no hot beverages while you're on the air. That's a big no-no.
Stay away from dairy.
Dairy, because just in case. Nuts, or like anything that gets stuck on the roof of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like a Cheez-It or like Captain Crunch or something like that. And no hot sauce. Duh. Well, for obvious reasons. And I caved. I shouldn't have asked for it in the first place. It shouldn't be sitting there in my locker tempting me.
I was saying, the better question is, how long has that one pack of buffalo sauce been in there?
Only a couple days.
Okay.
I had Chick-fil-A for lunch the other day.
Okay, gotcha.
And I always get, because I love, so anything buffalo ranch is like my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Chick-fil-A doesn't really have like a buffalo ranch.
Yeah.
So I get a packet of the buffalo and a packet of the ranch, and
I mix it together
and I get my buffalo ranch. They gave me an extra buffalo sauce. So I was just like, I'll save this for a rainy day. And that rainy day just happened to be today. And I ate it way too close to coming back to break. So bad turtle. Bad. 404-726-0929. Let's grab Nasir real quick before we hit some Hawks questions. Nasir, what do you think?
Yo, Turtle, man. I'm not saying this because I'm from Jersey and you from Jersey. And you're a Jets fan and I'm a Jets fan. But what you're saying makes 100%. It makes sense. Think about it. You invested money in this guy. You got to learn how to play team ball. We invested in you because even though I'm a Jets fan, I still cheer for Atlanta because I live here now. So if a team or a company invests in you, you got to put as much investment in them as they put in you. So your season didn't go well. Don't fall back like, oh, I'm still hurt. Just say, hey, you know, it was a bad year and just work that. Because not only did he screw the Falcons, he screwed himself by saying what he said. So he screwed himself as well. So it just didn't make any sense for him to say anything. He should have just shut up and be like, yo, the year wasn't going right. I'm going to get myself together, and I'll be ready the following year, and let's see what happens. I'll be a good, you know, whatever, and just wait for a trade if a trade was happening. Now, he pushed all that out the way. But I have one thing to ask you, Turtle.
Yep.
And we have the number 7 pick as the Jets, and I don't want to change this from the Falcons because I root for the Falcons as well. But my thing is, the last time we won a Super Bowl is when we got Joe Namath, and he was from Alabama, correct?
Yep.
So with the number 7 pick, I don't want to sound all crazy because I try not to sound crazy, but I'm thinking
you want Jalen Milroe.
We should grab Jason Milroe.
I think we should grab
Milroe. Just for the simple fact, we know we need him. Now I know we got Tyrod Taylor, so that should give us a year, and then we still also have the other kid, Travis, from Florida State. But I think we should grab Jason Milroe, get his mechanics and everything back to the way it was. He's a great athlete. And let's work on that running game and get things together. Because right now, we got about 3 good quarterbacks that can run and pass the ball. And that's what the NFL has come to. The running game is going to be back to elite style the way it used to be. The running back could be more efficient nowadays. And I think that's what the game is turning to. And I think Atlanta was a great – it was a great mind for Atlanta to grab Penix. I was happy they grabbed Penix. I was like, they got it together. And I thought it was good that they made him sit out a year and let Kirk Cousins play. But Kirk Cousins did screw everything up by saying what he said. He should have just shut up and be like, hey, my year got rough. And that should have just been it. Because if he would have did that, then other teams would be like, okay, we can get them together. But now saying what he said, he's like, well, I'm still hurt. Okay, so what's the other injury? Like, you're throwing your future in the fire. I just think
I got you, bro, and I appreciate the phone call and love that you're also an Atlanta transplant from Jersey who roots for the Jets. That's very specific. I love that. We're brothers in arms there, so you call back anytime. I'll answer your Jets point real first quick. No, you don't take Jalen Milroe. That's way too high for him. They have too many other holes to fill, much like the Falcons. You need help on the offensive line. You need help in the secondary. You just lost DJ Reed. I mean, they unfortunately are not a quarterback away by any stretch of the imagination. This is going to be a full send rebuild process in New York that you know it, Nasir, as well as I do. Just more suck for the Jets, and that's really the life that we live as Jets fans, unfortunately. In terms of Kirk, I think you may be a little off the mark there just with your take, just because by Kirk doing what he did, he was sending out a signal flare to all the other teams in the NFL like, hey, again, like the quote that he has that we drop on Dukes and Bell all the time, I didn't forget how to play quarterback. Like, my drop-off was not because of age or inability. It was injury. So I'm going to come out here on the national stage and tell you that I'm injured so that I can preserve myself for you to know that my body will heal and I'll be fine and I'll be the guy that was thrown for 500 yards NFC Offensive Player of the Week 2 times. All right, Dom, finally, 3.5 hours later, let's get some Hawks true-false in.
It's time for 5 true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All righty, so got 5 true or false questions here. We will run through some of these pretty quickly. We only got a few minutes left. But true or false, if healthy, and obviously we know Jalen Johnson is done for the season, but assuming that everyone that is currently on the roster is healthy for the remainder of the season, the Hawks will avoid the play-in and get the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference, which they are currently 3 games behind.
So you got to beat Indiana. You got to beat Orlando.
As of right now, the two immediately in front of the Hawks are the Magic and the Pistons.
The Pistons, okay.
That's your sixth and seventh. Pacers are actually at four right now.
Four, okay. Mm-hmm. What, the Bucks Milwaukee's are at five. At five?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Again, I'll give you the caveat of if healthy.
Yeah.
Again, that's the fun
you know
part.
What?
I'll give you that.
I like what I saw on that 3 out of 4. Should have been 4 out of 4 to take the Knicks. The East is kind of garbage, too. So
it's been very weird.
Yeah. You have, like, Detroit all of a sudden is, like, one of the better teams, like you just said. Orlando, without Wagner in there. They lost one of the Wagner brothers for the season. They're hanging on. Pacers have been, again, they give up 100 million points a game, but they score. Halliburton's not having a great year. He wasn't an all-star. Milwaukee's been up and down all season. They traded Middleton. Why not? I mean, there's not, like, if Boston, New York, Cleveland have the three spots at the top pretty much nailed in, I'd say everything else is a crapshoot.
Yeah. Yeah. After that is a large drop off.
So why not? Yeah. I'm going to go true.
All right. We're being positive. These next two are kind of fun because I think that they are significant, like career milestones. But I do think that they are attainable. So first up here, Trae Young, who currently has 587 assists and is averaging about 11.5 assists per game this season. Trae Young will record his first ever 800-plus assist season. He's come close before. Twice he's had over 700.
He has almost 600 now.
Mm-hmm.
There's 27 games left,
mm-hmm.
and he averages,
about 11.5.
10, 11 a game?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the math.
The math says he should
do it. Math's on that.
The math says he should do it. This would be his first time in his career cracking 800.
Yeah. I'm going to say he does it. Why not?
All right. We're keeping it true.
No one else on the team is doing it. So he's going to have to be
that guy. He's going
to
get all the assists.
Yeah.
All right. A little tougher one then. This one is about Dyson Daniels. True or false? Dyson Daniels, who currently is averaging 2.98 assists, so just under 3. Dyson Daniels will become the 8th player in NBA history to finish a season averaging 3 or more steals a game. There are only 7 other guys in NBA history that
have done
it before.
What'd you say he's at? Because I think you said
he's at 2.98. I'm sorry, steals.
Okay.
Steals. He's at 2.98 steals per game. As of right now.
Yeah.
If he gets to 3 steals per game, he would be just the 8th player in NBA history.
Again.
To average that.
Why not? Like, he's done it. This season, I mean, like, there's no if everything is with the caveat of health is good, yeah, he should. I mean, there'll be the opportunities there. The Hawks don't exactly, you know, limit teams to 90 points a night, so there'll be a lot of opportunities to steal the ball away from your opponent. So, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to go 3 for 3.
All right. Let's see if we can keep it up. True or false, little easier one, no real setup here. True or false, the Hawks made a mistake not moving Capella at the deadline.
I think they tried. I think the back thing sort of screwed that up. He still hasn't played, right? I mean, he didn't play going into the
All-Star
game.
Yet. Mm-hmm.
So we got word that he was, I'm using my air quotes here, ramping up. So I think they tried to move him. You want an injured old player for your playoff push?
But is there?
He's not old, right.
But I guess the mistake would be with just the amount of time you had him away from the team, basically openly telling him like we're shopping you, you're not going to be here for the most part. And then,
well, again, it's only a mistake if they couldn't find a partner because of incompetence, not because he was injured.
That's fair.
So I'm going to give them a little bit of a break just because it seems like this injury is legitimate. Unless it's not, and he just is out of shape from
unless
not playing.
Unless it's the reverse of the Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
He's faking like he has an injury, but he's good.
But now it's just the double-edged sword of, oh, well, now I actually need to get back in shape to play again for the Hawks. But I don't think that's – I think he's legit hurt, and that affected his trade value.
All right, last one before we get out of here. This one I just kind of had some fun with. Obviously, there was some pretty open talks about Kevin Durant being available and Phoenix trying to move on from him. True or false, acquiring Kevin Durant should be the number one priority for the Hawks this offseason?
The question is, do the timelines match up? Because
I believe he only has 1 year left on his contract after this season.
But he's
36, yes, I believe.
I don't know if the timelines match up. Because does he have enough good years in him that it's worth acquiring him?
I think with his style of play, like, I think KD, just because of his physical abilities and, like, his length and all that, he's going to be a guy who I'll be able to get my shots up and be able to wake up and hit 20 a night.
I meant health.
Oh, well, yeah. that's
I don't think his skill is the issue. Health, man. That guy has just been a walking injury since.
Yes, he has for the past few. Since Golden State.
I'm going to say false. I don't think the Hawks, like, he needs to go to a team that's that veteran scorer away. Like, put him on the Bucks and you could get them back in the finals. A team like that. You have a big three of KD shooting threes from the outside, Dame, and then Giannis. Bring him back inside a little bit more. Yeah,
you don't want to run a little, like, small ball. You got KD and Yeka out there. That's kind of like your.
I just don't think it makes sense. I think KD wants to go somewhere where he can win a title before he's washed, and I think the time is ticking on that.
Yeah,
because he's a turned ankle away from being done at this point in his career.
Fair.
All right, good job, Dom. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Got a couple things to bounce off Dom, including the All-Star game. They got it right, but they also got it wrong. I'll explain. This song came out when I was a senior in high school. It also fit in for some activities we were doing as seniors in high school. MGMT Electric Feel. I associate this song with one thing in particular. I'll leave all of your minds to wander as to guess what that is. Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. It's been a really, really fun show. Took many, many phone calls tonight on the topic du jour of Kirko Chains, Kirk Cousins, and his future in Atlanta. And I hope there is none. We talked to our buddy Abe Gordon, talked to Joe DeLeon, talked to, a couple dozen of y'all on the phones. And the sentiment, I'd say, was like 75-25. He got to go versus keep him. And we'll continue to see what happens over the next couple of weeks as that March deadline is, it'll be here before you know it. It'll be here before you know it. All right, Dom, before we get out of here, a couple of things I want to kick around with you. How much of the NBA All-Star weekend did you participate in?
So I was actually, it's funny because we obviously with all the callers, we had to push some segments back. And this is actually something I was going to ask you in the producer six pack. Is the All-Star game dead? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't watch a lick of any of the All-Star activities.
Okay, so let's break it down. I think they should do away with the whole skills competition, except for the three-point contest. Because
Here's the issue with that. The three-point contest is going to be great just because that's where we are. Everyone shoots threes, so that's always just going to be fun seeing guys chuck them up. The dunk contest will be good when we get stars in it. The issue is just the stars don't want to do it.
I think they should put – here's what I think they should do. They would never do this because it's money, 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 money. Take a five-year break from the dunk contest. Over the next 5 years, figure out a way to bring it back. Make it unique again. Make it individualistic again. And somehow, some way, get the Stars back involved. Whatever needs to happen, I don't think it's money, because money is too astronomical for contracts at this point. Like, even if you made the prize $3 million, that's not enough to get LeBron to do it.
Yeah.
So figure out a way. Charity, maybe.
And I don't know. I mean, obviously this is the issue that the NBA has and what they'll have to do. Again, I just think it really is just a sense of pride thing. Like, I think it's going to take one star stepping up and being like, no, I want to do it. Like I do remember, like, after Mac McClung won, I did see Ja Morant tweeted and was like, yeah, maybe. Like, he tweeted out, kind of like throwing it out, and then a couple other guys, like Zach, was like, hey man, if you coming out, I'll come back out too. So, like, that is kind of what it takes, because if next year it's Ja Morant and Zach LaVine and Mac McClung and stuff like that, then people are going to come and watch. So the dunk contest, I think they're saving. The skill, like the actual skills competition part, I liked it better when it was like a race between the two guys. Like, and I don't know, like, was that changed this year? Like, I saw that they were kind of doing it like teammate type
stuff.
Yeah, it's
too cluttered. It's hard to figure out. I think they need to just sort of wipe this thing clean. And here's the thing, too. I actually like the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to change the way that they do it.
Mm.
Kevin Hart doing stand-up routines as intermission breaks and, like, contests, three-point, like, field goal contests for listeners and watchers and some viewers and stuff like that. Just play the damn games. I mean, they had a graphic. Like, the actual event took 2.5 hours, and the actual amount of game time was, like, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So let's not do that again.
I was going to say, I know, because what, they broke them up into teams and had like the teams.
Four teams. You play each other, winner advances.
Okay.
And then eventually you get a winner.
Okay.
It was Chuck, Shaq, Kenny,
and Candace Parker. Yeah, and they all drafted teams. I like that aspect of it. I kind of like that. And I think that was kind of the common sentiment from a lot of people, was that, like, cool idea, but you all really need to kind of work it a little bit better.
Yeah, because it just was the format that they had it in is there was like an intermission in between each game. That was way too long.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
Kevin Hart, go away, man. Like, I thought we left you back in like 2017. Like, and Snoop Dogg too. Like, it's enough, man. Like, it doesn't add anything at this point. It just makes me annoyed.
Yeah.
Seeing their faces.
Because with Kevin, you've seen him do it so much.
In every sport.
Yeah.
He infiltrated everything. He left us nothing. Maybe baseball. But I'm sure he's been to, like, a Phillies game.
I'll say, let the Phillies win one. He'll be there.
Okay. Are you into this Four Nations thing? I'm not, like, into it. It's on the TV right now. USA is down now to Sweden 2-1. They were up 1-0. I'm not into it, but it sounds like for people that are into it, this is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm gathering.
I would say I like this. Like, I like when like the MLB and stuff, like with the World Classic. Baseball Classic. Like,
do they still even do that?
I don't know if it's going to be like I wouldn't be able to.
I remember they were doing it when I was in college, but that was the last time I remember paying attention to it. But that was 10 years ago with like Justin Morneau on the team.
Well, I know recently they did it, and it was a lot. It was a big success when they brought it back recently. So I guess, like, I like seeing stuff like that. Because in all honesty, the only time we really get to see stuff like that is like the Olympics. So, like, this is kind of Olympics-esque feel to it when you have all of the different nations coming together and competing in
now,
one sport.
Now, here's the honest truth, because I'm not trying to put on for y'all. I'm honest here.
Uh-huh.
Stop. Everybody stop. Let's everybody take a step back here. It's okay to watch a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to go see that movie you haven't seen. It's okay to check out something that you haven't been able to get to. Read a book. Like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love listening, again, to Abe before. He's like, well, you know, we got college softball starting, and we got the, you know, college baseball starting up, and I got my seven TVs, and I got, you know, I'm locked into this college basketball. See, like, it's okay. That's all. I'm here to close out the show tonight to tell all of you, it's okay. Watch that TV show that you haven't seen. Go to the movies. Like, it's okay. Baseball's going to be here. March Madness is going to be here. Football, the Combine's going to be here. You don't need, with me on the air, you don't need to prove to me your sports bona fides, that you are locked into something 365 days a year. I think what Abe Gordon does is unhealthy, quite frankly.
I was going to say, the thing about Abe is that he is actually locked into all of it. I don't know how he does.
Of it. Yes. He could tell you who's starting tomorrow for the Texas Longhorns against USC in baseball. It's okay. Go watch that TV show, man. There's a lot of good ones out there. I just started one called Yellow Jackets. I'm two episodes in. It's really freaking good. And you know what I'm going to go home and do tonight? Watch episode 3. You know what I'm not going to do? Watch the end of Duke, Virginia, who's unranked right now. Duke is number 3, or I can't even see the TV, and Virginia's unranked. I'm not watching the end of this game. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay, everybody out there. Take this time. Super Bowl just ended. Pitchers and catchers are reporting. We'll have March Madness here in a couple of weeks. But for right now, go to the movies. Watch that TV show. Have a conversation with your wife, damn it. Remind her, I know we just had Valentine's Day, but remind her that you're more than just a robotic sports fan she thinks you are. Because me, I'm hosting a show right now. I just did a 4-hour show. You know what I don't need to do right now? Go home and watch the end of Duke, Virginia. I just don't need to do it.
Stop it. Get some help.
Exactly. I'll be all right, man. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to come back here tomorrow. Dukes and Bell's going to start at 2 o'clock, and we'll all be just fine. It's okay. So that's my little PSA to close out the show. Like, it's not, you're not more of a sports fan than I am because you're going to watch the end of Duke, Virginia.
Just
because
you watch all everything.
You're not.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're just not. MLS is coming back this weekend.
It's what we do, man, when we don't have our content. You remember during COVID, man, and we were all watching Korean baseball?
Yeah, but we were sports starved at that point.
This is what it feels like. NFL's gone. This first week, no NFL.
But I don't feel starved. Like, I know baseball's coming, Dom. Like, baseball's going to be here for the next 8 months. College basketball's about to dominate the next month. Like, we're fine.
But
is
all that going on right now?
Like, I'm not fiending for it. Like, there's enough other stuff that, like, I want to get into. Some of that I want to bring to you guys on the show. Like, I love talking about the non-sports stuff, too. My relationship situation, movies, music, SNL. We didn't even get into SNL 50. We'll have to save that for next time. Because you guys wanted to talk about Kirk Cousins. Get him out of here. All right, Tom. Great job, 404-726-0929. Appreciate everybody who called. All the guests, Danny Vietti, Jason Longshore, Joe DeLeon, Miles Garrett. We'll figure this damn Kirk Cousins thing out if it's the last thing I do. I just know one thing. Get him out of here! Talk to you guys next time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.